Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody have some NyQuil?
Blog Talk Radio.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you ready for this
you
one?
UCR.
Go.
We say and hope we want, give it to you non-stop. Any place, any time, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll, we never gonna go.
It is Uncensored Radio, and welcome to the show. This is the Infirmary Edition. We are both under the weather, but we're playing hurt, we're playing sick, like Michael Jordan, coming to give you one of the best shows you're going to hear. It is No Rules, Just Mics. My name is Christian Sanger, and my co-host, as always, is the wonderful Topher Cassidy. How you doing today, Topher?
I'm hanging in there, my friend. I'm hanging in there. Merry Christmas to you.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas to you and yours and everybody who's listening. Number one, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, whatever it is that you celebrate. But number two, thank you so much for joining us this day after Christmas on not our normal night, also not our normal time. We're a day late and an hour late on top of it, by design, of course. But we appreciate you listening in. Invite your friends. Normally we're on Tuesday night. You can catch us at 8 p.m. Eastern normally, but we got the special Christmas edition going on today, and we're excited to have you here. Like I said, this is No Rules, Just Mics, the No Rules radio show, bringing you the latest and sometimes controversial topics that you want to know about. We are your No Rules hosts, as I mentioned, and we're getting ready to do this today. We've got a lot to talk about. Let's get right into it. We got some Christmas action. I was lucky enough to go home for the holidays, home being Connecticut, for those who don't know. Very short trip due to my work schedule, but it was well worth it. Got to see my family, including my only three-month-old nephew, who is adorable, and that made the trip almost worth it in and of itself. But it was great seeing my family. Got to see some friends who I haven't seen in some instances in over a year, 2 years in some cases, so that was really great for me as well. I had planned on trying to make a trip to Newtown to visit that area after what had occurred a couple weeks ago with the shooting. Between, you know, my family and Christmas, couldn't make it happen, decided that I'd rather spend that time with my family and then help out that community in other ways, but that's a topic for later. So a lot of traveling, a lot of go, go, go on my Christmas, and not a lot of rest, but it was well worth it, you know, seeing my family and caught the cold. But that's okay. Like I said, well worth it. I'll take a cold anytime if I can go see my family on the holidays. But how was your Christmas, Topher?
It was good. I also caught a cold. I caught it a couple of days before Christmas, and I'm kind of on the mend. But I'm here and I'm ready to go. Christmas was a lot of fun. It was a lot of family. Matthew and I actually celebrated our Christmas on Tuesday, about a week ago or a week prior to Christmas, because we just can't wait. We are not waiting people when it comes to Christmas and gifts and opening gifts and things like that. So we celebrated our Christmas about a week early, and then it was just a lot of friends and a lot of family and a lot of get-togethers and stuff like that. So, you know. It was a good Christmas. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Did you get what you wanted?
Oh, yeah,
Santa bring you everything you wanted?
What was that?
I said, did Santa bring you everything you wanted?
Oh, yes, absolutely. More than I needed, that's for sure. I got a lot of stuff that was on my list between my girlfriend. We celebrated a little early as well due to my traveling. Her family, my family. I'm very blessed this holiday, that's for sure. And, I definitely felt it this year, especially I haven't been home for Christmas in 4 or 5 years, I think, something like that, because of my old work schedule. So I felt even more blessed this Christmas. Also, if you factor in, I'm only being an hour up the road from Newtown and knowing there's a lot of families there that couldn't celebrate the way that I did, I definitely felt very, very lucky to be not only spending it with my family, but to have everybody there and everybody being very generous and being very happy. It was a great holiday, everything that it was supposed to be. Happy to be back in what was supposed to be warm Charleston, and it was this morning, but it's gotten a little windy and chilly out here tonight. But we're inside now, keeping everybody warm as you listen to us over the internet. We've got people popping up in our chat room. Welcome to No Rules, Just Mics for those new folks in there. It appears Heather Ray in the chat room. She says she also has a cold and offered us, letting us take that off her hands. But I said, no thanks. We already have enough of a cold.
Yeah, she
can
But it.
Thank you for joining us. Yeah, you can keep that. We're doing all right here. I've got my emergency instead of my normal beer. Although normally I say beer does calm, does cure just about any kind of ailment. But no, today I'm going with the emergency mix or whatever, airborne. That's it. Just trying to get back on the mend. But like I said, we're playing hurt. We can do that.
Yeah, we got this.
Absolutely. So, Topher, you threw up a poll on our page going back to Christmas about re-gifting and returning gifts and things. I didn't have a chance to see the final tally. I know that it was pretty close for a while.
It was pretty close. It was about 50-50. There was four options. As far as re-gifting goes, the choices were I re-gift sometimes. I've never re-gifted a present. I re-gift every once in a while, and I re-gifted once and I got caught and I don't re-gift anymore. And it was a tie between I re-gift sometimes and I never re-gift. It was about 50-50. I'm one of those, it sounds really crappy to say, but I'm one of those people that will probably re-gift if it's something that absolutely makes no sense in my life whatsoever. And I know that it will bring joy and happiness to somebody that will appreciate it, then I will absolutely re-gift. But I will not re-gift something that I don't think anybody would like. I will just keep it and just kind of say, all right, next time you're going to get me a gift card. And I appreciate that.
To the best of my recollection, have never re-gifted something. If I have, it might have been like down the line, like after I had it for a while, but I certainly don't remember it. Now, this year I've thought about it a little bit, but not quite re-gifting. I've got a plethora of gift cards, which normally are great, but we got a lot of restaurant ones, more than we may be able to use, and for some restaurants that we're just kind of like, about. There's that website out there, or multiple websites, where you can sell your gift cards for a little bit of cash, you know, right into your PayPal account. And that's not really re-gifting per se, but I might be taking that route with a couple of gift cards. But otherwise, no, I always hold on to the gifts at least for a little while. Make sure whoever gave it to me sees me wear it if it's clothes at least once, or sees it hanging in the house if it's something like that, before either throwing it away or the only time I ever possibly re-gifted was probably like my little brother. I probably handed down stuff to him, but yeah, like you said, somebody would actually appreciate it. But re-gifting is one of those things where, you know, it shouldn't be a big deal, but you never know who it's going to offend, especially when it comes to family and good friends. And that's why I usually try to avoid it. I'm not trying to do the whole conflict thing, that's for sure.
I agree with you. I think I haven't re-gifted something in probably about four or 5 years or so. I think I've been really good with accepting gifts that people give me just because it's the thought that counts. I've learned kind of fairly recently, and by recently within the last 4 or 5 years, that Christmas is not about the presents that you get, and it's not about the amount of stuff that's under the tree. It's the family, it's the togetherness, it's the emotion, it's the energy, it's the spirit of Christmas that I like. So you can get me any simple thing, and it will absolutely be appreciated, because 9 times out of 10, you got me something because you thought that I would like it. So I don't feel comfortable re-gifting something that somebody gave me because they knew that this was something, or they thought this was something that I would like. So,
yeah, absolutely. And even the littlest bit of effort is more effort than the vast majority of people in your life are going to put into it. So it is nice when people think of you, even if it's just a gift card. And sometimes a gift card is a better way to go than trying to pick out something that, you know, they think you're going to like and completely bomb on. A gift card can always be either, it can be used, can be given to somebody else, re-gifted, whether they know that or not. That's usually the safe bet to go. And someone in the chat room who was an iShine fan said he had gotten a gift card, you know, one of those like Amex ones that you can use anywhere. Those are always great too, because then the person can use it for whatever the heck they want. didn't get the gift that they wanted, that's usually a safe bet as well. And just so you know, you can't see him in the chat for those who are familiar with our show, but our buddy Chris Burson, who has been a weekly guest in the chat room and one we hope to get on the air at some point when his work schedule allows, he is listening by call-in. He can't make it into the chat room at the moment, and he said he agreed with you, Topher, that he's telling me this through Twitter. By the way, it's at Chris Burson, a good follow. He said that you're spot on. It's all about family. Family is irreplaceable. It's all about that. And I'm going to give him another shout-out because last week we talked a lot about the shootings and the tragedy in Newtown and about the pay-it-forward thing, and he was one of our listeners who was right on board with it. He said, I do that stuff all the time, and he's been proving it. I've been encouraging people who follow me on Twitter to let me know the stuff that they're doing so I can tweet it out as well. And try to inspire some people, and he's done a lot of good stuff. My favorite one he's done, well, was my favorite until today, but one that he did was he bought gift cards or the little gift certificates from McDonald's and told the person at the counter to put them in the next, like, five Happy Meals that are ordered. So a kid would get a Happy Meal, and then also would get, like, a gift card that obviously could be used at McDonald's down the line. So I thought that was pretty awesome.
That is awesome.
A great idea, and something I look forward to doing at another establishment of some kind, and I thought that was a great idea as far as the pay it forward. But then also today, he took it a step forward. He paid it forward not to a human being, but to a poor, innocent, injured fox. He saw a fox who was limping kind of by a busy road. He called animal control and kind of hung out by it, you know, in his car, so he wasn't risking himself or anything, to make sure that it didn't run out into the road and, you know, get hit, and animal control came and, you know, took it to the vet and hopefully took good care of it. So big shout out to him for listening, even on this point when he's got to call in and can't join the chat because he's not near your computer, but also for doing the pay it forward that we promoted a lot last week. So major props to him. I think what he's been doing is awesome.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You know, and I really think that we need to do that throughout the year. We really just need to kind of be more cognizant and more aware of the, I don't like to use the word less fortunate. I think that everybody at some point, you know, has some kind of hiccup in their life. And, you know, for somebody who can realize that and can kind of help somebody out of a situation, I think that you always get good karma from that. You always get good juju from that. So if there's somebody out there that you see that you kind of are either interacting with, or you kind of just brought to your attention via visually, or, you know, somebody kind of mentioned something to you about what was going on, do whatever you can to help out, because it really does make a difference. They really feel better, you feel better, and you start promoting positivity in the world where there's a lot of not that right now. So absolutely,
and he's been doing a lot of it. He's got a lot of good mojo going his way, and I've been trying to do my part here. We talked about it last week, and we want to keep going forward with that. And like you said, it doesn't always have to be someone, you know, by donating directly to a charity. Now, I did post in there the Sandy Hook fundraiser that I'm trying to get raise money for. All the proceeds are going to the United Ways Fund. They set up for that. That's a great way to help people, of course, is donating. There's nothing wrong with that, of course, but the pay it forward thing is pretty great, too, because, you know, everybody needs help, no matter how much money, no matter how well off you are. It doesn't mean that everything in their life is perfect, and it's nice to have a little something bright in your day. You know, while I was home, my brother, who didn't really know too much about what was going on, you know, he's been busy with the new baby and everything, so he hasn't paid too much attention to it. He went to a local supermarket and grabbed a cart, and in the cart was an envelope, and it said something about, you know, acts of kindness and paying it forward. And inside were essentially, for those who aren't from the Northeast, this grocery store called Big Y. They give out tokens where you can get discounts if you carry one of their cards or whatever. And it had a couple of those in there. So that was pretty cool, you know. He was like, oh, wow, you know, he got a couple of discounts that he wasn't planning on, and, you know, makes you feel good. So definitely something we should keep promoting through our show as the year goes on. My girlfriend participated in something called Christmas Commandos, which is folks who volunteer in all different ways. The thing that she took, the role that she took was delivering presents. And basically what happens is families where a child has lost a parent over the last year, you know, they get nominated by different groups or neighbors or friends or whatever, so they have no idea that this is happening. And this group gets together, buys a ton of presents for the kid or kids in the family who lost a parent. On Christmas Eve after midnight, so technically Christmas Day, they go and leave these presents out on their porch or whatnot. And then a police officer who's with them knocks on the door and, you know, says, hey, you should probably get these presents that are out here on the porch. You don't want them to get stolen or, you know, whatever it may be. And these kids who have had a rough year losing a parent have these great presents. So she did that. And a lot of giving and a lot of charities and a lot of awesome stuff has been going on. I've seen it in my family, with my friends, with my girlfriend, and it's been great to see firsthand. Definitely brightens your day, and without a doubt brightens the day of those folks as well.
Right, right. Yeah, that's kind of really what counts. That's what really counts.
Absolutely. It makes you feel great. And, you know, some people think that giving and stuff should be a selfless act, and in a way it is. And you shouldn't brag about it, and you shouldn't talk about it. But like I said last week, screw that, you know. Be proud of it. That's something awesome that you did. And
mm-hmm.
maybe by you talking about it, now without being a complete douchebag about it, by
right.
talking about it, you might inspire others to do the same. That's why you should put it on Twitter. You should put it on Facebook. You can make it part of the 26 Acts deal. Be proud of it. It's an awesome accomplishment, and it's something hopefully that it'll rub off on somebody else.
I agree. So moral of the story, just pay it forward. Just push through the negativity, and if you see somebody that you can do something, you can do some good for, or if you go, you know, you drive by an SPCA and you see that they need food or they need kitty litter or they need something, you know, if you have the time or you have the resources, just do it, because it really does make you feel good inside, and you know that you're doing something for the greater good of other people and you know, our four-legged friends as well.
Yeah. We've got people in the chat talking about stuff that's important to them, different charities and things like that. People talking about it's like the Children's Miracle Network, number one. You know, Bride says that that's why they're alive today is because of that organization. You know, that's a pretty amazing thing to say right there. She was born 10 weeks early, only weighed 3 pounds and 2 ounces, was diagnosed with mild cerebral palsy. I mean, just people, you know, you never know what's going to be important to different people, whatever affects them and their families. So if you're in the chat, go through and look and keep those in mind the next time you're thinking about donating or helping out, you know,
right.
For sure. So thanks for sharing, everybody. We appreciate the stories and giving other ideas of some charities that you might not think about. If it doesn't directly affect your family or isn't in the news currently, you might not think about it. So we appreciate keeping that in the news. We definitely need some more love in this world, because there is a lot of hate going on, not just the horrific shootings like the one in Webster, New York that just happened with the firemen, but also, you know, people just talking about gun control. It's getting violent. It's getting angry. The rhetoric out there is tough. I know you had sent me an article regarding some testy conversations that have been happening with Piers Morgan with CNN.
That was kind of interesting, because, you know, you think that freedom of speech, you can say whatever you want, and, you know, granted, you might get backlash and stuff like that from it, but actually, Piers Morgan, who is, he's kind of up there with, like, Simon Cowell. He's really big in the BBC world as an anchorman. He's done some shows like, oh, what is that show? America's Got Talent. He was one of the judges there. I follow him on Twitter. He's actually a pretty interesting guy, but he was actually threatened with deportation after making an anti-gun statement, which kind of threw me for a loop, because that for me, what that means is that our freedom of speech is really being threatened, because we may or may not agree with what the majority is saying. And, you know, literally, he has about 70,000 signatures that are wanting to push him out of the country. They're wanting to deport him, according to E! News. And I think that's really kind of crappy.
Yeah, it's pretty crappy. The good news, of course, well, if you're on the side of free speech and actually agree with what Morgan has been saying, is that this probably is going to go absolutely nowhere. There's absolutely no basis to deport him. It's just some people signing an internet petition. But it just kind of shows it how how volatile the conversation is right now. Piers Morgan, Topher, you described him a little bit. He took over Larry King's spot also on CNN. That's kind of that's where you can see him now. I've actually watched
right.
him a few times. Not a terrible show. I don't mind it. It's not one of my favorites. But, you know, I'll tune in once in a while. He does good interviews. But yeah, he's been getting really, really testy. Now, being, from the UK, he is from a place where their gun culture is not what it is here. Very strict gun control. The British don't understand why we have guns here. What is the point? So he's even more in tune with this big change because he comes from a country where it's the complete opposite. So he said some, you know, he's made his point well known, and he's gotten a little rough and tumble with some guests, some pro-gun folks. You know, he's called them stupid right to their face, which really isn't a big deal until you think about, well, he is on CNN. It is a news program. Granted, his is more of an editorial. And it rubbed people the wrong way. It didn't bother me at all. I'm willing to admit I'm biased on this because I don't get the whole gun culture in America either. And I think there definitely needs to be some changes. I'm not saying to get rid of guns completely. But I didn't think that was such a big deal. But some people are so angry about it. Like you said, they're making these petitions, which, again, ridiculous. It's not going to happen. But it just shows how divided the nation is on this issue. You would think after what happened in Connecticut, in Webster, New York, in Aurora, Colorado, and then in the past even further, you know, Virginia Tech, Columbine, and there's another one in Colorado. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. You would think folks would be rallying behind, you know, some kind of change, and it still shows that we're pretty divided in this country when it comes to the issues of guns.
Yeah, we are. I think that regardless of what your opinion is, I think you have every right to your opinion. Just because somebody says something that you don't like, doesn't mean that you can attempt to have them deported or ostracize them for any particular reason. For me, it just goes to show that regardless of what it is that you say, people are not going to like it, and they're actually going to use it against you. And, you know, he's not an American citizen. He's a British citizen, and
right.
he does his Piers Morgan show. It's crappy that people think that he's attacking the Constitution by arguing, you know, the whole Second Amendment thing. That's where I'm kind of coming from
yeah.
from this.
I hear you. And, you know, it reared its ugly head again today. And I think it's, you know, it's one thing for Piers Morgan, you know, to be on TV and calling a pro-gun person stupid, which was kind of comical, unprofessional, yeah, probably. It's one thing to have that discussion going, but a paper in New York today kind of took a step further, and then in response, someone took it even further than that. And I'm interested to get your opinion on this, but for those who didn't catch the news today, it actually started on Saturday. The Journal News of White Plains, New York, on their website, they actually published an interactive map that showed the names and addresses of thousands of handgun permit holders throughout Westchester and Rockland counties. So for two counties in New York, a newspaper on their website posted a map. So you could click on the little bubble. It would tell you the person's name, and that they were a permit holder. Like, I'll get your opinion on that here in a second. I'm interested to see what the chat people think as well. So that happened. Some days pass, it kind of goes viral on the internet. Then today on Facebook, something called restock.com has a page. And what they did, they took it to that next step, and they posted the journalist who wrote the piece. They posted a picture of his home from Google Maps, the address, his phone number, and then the phone numbers and addresses of some other people involved with the paper, such as the editors and things like that. And some of the comments were pretty scary, talking about, well, if he's willing to put on the internet where all these people with guns live, it's safe to assume he's probably not a gun holder, probably not
right.
a smart move. And some other people not being so facetious about it, like actually outright saying, that they wish harm on this gentleman. And that's not something new on the internet, but when you're posting someone's address, you got people with guns mad at you. It's interesting. Now, we can we can take it both levels. How do you feel about the newspaper publishing those folks' information to begin with? We'll start there.
I think that's an invasion of privacy, and that should be absolutely – that shouldn't even be posted. That's absolutely disgusting and ridiculous. There's no reason why that should be important. There's no reason why you should put somebody's life in jeopardy because they believe something different than you.
Yeah, I don't quite understand it. I mean, I get it's kind of like the sex offender list, where it's, you know, you can go online and even though that stuff is like and Burson just asked, is that stuff public record? And it is. It is public record, but. You know, in this lazy culture, no one's going to go out and do that. And the newspaper took it upon themselves to gather up that information and post it online. Even though it's public record, you know, when there's this conversation going on in the country, it's dangerous. Even if the newspaper isn't saying, hey, we disagree with these people, you should know where they live so you can have a talking to. You know, even if they don't say something directly, they're just like, hey, just so you know, here you go.
Right.
Yeah, this is a dangerous, dangerous thing that they're treading on. Do you need to know who owns guns in your neighborhood? I get that there's going to be some people out there who would like to know, maybe keep an eye on those neighbors and things, but there's far more people who are not just owning these. All these people are owning them legally, of course, that are listed.
Right.
That's, you know, that's why there's record of it. So they're not doing anything illegal. And we all know the vast majority of gun owners are responsible. There are a small percentage, when you look at the grand scheme of things, that turn into these shootings and such. It's just that these shootings are so devastating and that there are different types of weapons that you could argue about. But for Joe Schmo, who owns a gun for protection, keeps it locked up, is completely stable, and never uses it, is it fair that his information is out there? Yeah, I don't think the newspaper should have posted it, although the reaction that was posted on Facebook is equally as disturbing and disgusting to me. It's, you know, it's exactly what the newspaper did, and I think it's a little bit more direct and a little bit more worrisome if I was that journalist because, you know, you got people who had no business being in the public spotlight pretty pissed off at you. I think it's a little bit more dangerous, but they shouldn't have done it. No, I don't get it. Was a sensationalism, you know, it's a small local newspaper that now has national headlines for something that they did. I think that's all it was. It was just for ratings and website hits, you know, and ad revenue and all that good stuff. And it's a dangerous thing that they did.
It really is. And
not
I
illegal.
That...
Like Chris Burson said, it's not illegal that the newspaper posted it. You know, he said it's not illegal, but it's somewhat immoral. And I think that's where we kind of stand on that topic.
I think it's invasion of privacy. I mean, it's one thing if somebody goes out into the internet and tries to look up this stuff on their own, but rather than have somebody, it's different than having somebody publish a newspaper with all these people's information. That's a different story. That's not cool. That's not okay. And that's technically illegal. It's the same thing as if somebody were to fly over your house and take a picture of you sunbathing nude on your back patio and publishing those photos. Yeah, you're out there, but it doesn't need to be plastered all over the news and the web and everywhere else.
It's
an invasion of
privacy. It's one of those gray areas. You know, if they're not on your property, technically they can take a photo, but it's kind of immoral and creepy. It's one of those gray areas. And, you know, people in the chat are making up, they're coming up with stuff that I didn't even think of. You know, I was thinking more, people who don't want to be in the spotlight, their information's out there. They might get harassing phone calls from anti-gun folks. They might get neighbors poking their nose in their business. But they're also talking about, okay, now what if someone wanted to steal the guns? Now they know where guns are.
Yep.
And that was iShine fan who brought that up. You could case a place, decide, oh, this place looks like a good place that we could steal from. Go in there and steal the guns. Like, and then it's in the wrong hands. Like, it's just, I see so little good coming out of it. I think it was completely off base by that newspaper. I don't get it. Heather Ray in the chat room says she has a gun. She lives in a not so great neighborhood. You know, it's just what she could afford at this time, so it wasn't like, you know, she could easily move out is what I'm saying. Like, this is what she has to deal with. It's her reality. She keeps it safe. And I asked, hey, would you be mad if someone posted your personal info over the internet just because you own that gun? And she said, yeah, she would be. iShyFan agreed. I agree.
Hell yeah.
I mean, think about it. Again, you're not illegally owning this gun. They're not posting your info or turning you in for something illegal, which is another issue. That just pick any other household object or thing that you own and then having your local newspaper post it and say, hey, Topher Cassidy here, he owns an iPod. You know, not a big deal. Who cares who knows who you own an iPod? But it's the same concept. Like, it's nobody else's business. So, yeah, I thought that was... You know, usually when it comes to these journalism things, they're blowing the lid off of some big story, but they became the story, which I think was their point to begin with. They're extremely in the wrong as far as I'm concerned, and it appears pretty much everyone's in agreement over this one.
It's way off base. It's absolutely way off base. I was going to go someplace, but I figured it's probably not the safest route to go down.
I think we're all kind of in agree. Yeah, we all kind of agree here. It's not like some other topics we bring up. We got everybody in the chat room like, yes, we agree. So we're not really stirring up anything. But I thought it was interesting to bring up. I don't always assume that I know everything. I act like I do sometimes. So there's been plenty of times where I've discussed things on the show with you and you've changed my mind or made me see a side that I didn't see. And same with people in the chat. And even in this conversation, even though I was already kind of like, wow, this was wrong, people brought up stuff that I hadn't even thought about. So that's what I like about these discussions, is that even when we all agree on the main point, there's always something little that I didn't think about. So I appreciate the discussion for sure. But with like you're about to say, I think, let's move on from that topic. Maybe something a little bit more lighthearted. I don't know. You're usually the one with celebrity gossip and stuff for the show. So what do you got for me this week? I know you must have something.
Okay, I do have something. It's not so much celebrity gossip. I don't need to hear any kind of jokes or anything. I watched Les Mis tonight, and I have to tell you, it was probably the best 3 hours of film I've ever seen. It was amazing. If you have not seen the movie, or read the book, or have seen any of the plays, I highly recommend you do so. And I highly recommend that you go on Fandango and you get your tickets and you watch this movie. It is an investment. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it for you. It is a long movie that's meant to have an intermission in the middle, but because it's a movie, it doesn't. It is the best piece of music that you will ever hear. It is the best cinematography. The lighting is amazing. It is the best movie I have seen to date, hands down.
Wow, that is quite the endorsement. It's not like you don't go to the movies often. I know you and Matt do enjoy movies and see quite a bit. You guys have been in the movies way more than I have. You've talked about them a lot on the show. So for those who don't listen weekly, you know, this is a guy who doesn't watch a lot of movies. So I'm definitely intrigued. And Heather says, no spoilers.
No, I'm not gonna spoil anything. I will tell
but
you.
But no, that, wow. See,
I will say it was a movie I know very little about the play. I haven't seen the play yet, but they're coming to the PAC. They're coming to the Charleston Performing Arts Center in February, which I'm going to see. But I kind of know the synopsis of and kind of like the summary of Les Mis, and I didn't know what to expect, and I really should have brought a box of tissues because I cried from opening scene to end scene, and that's no lie. I cried. I had this lump in my chest from sobbing because it was.
You're not the first person that I've heard that from.
It's a beautiful movie.
He lives in L.A. I actually was able to see him when I was home for Christmas. I was excited about that. A friend of mine from high school. But anyway, he's lived in L.A. for probably about 5 years now. He works at a company called Buddha Jones. What they do is they do movie trailers. So the trailers you see on TV, a lot of those are made by this company. So he goes through and edits them, whatever. He's been a huge movie fan his whole life. He was a kid. We go to his house and not only watch movies all the time, but he had an actual projection screen in his basement to watch movies on. So it was like a mini movie theater and everything. So this dude's been serious about movies, like studied stuff, like hardcore. This is his deal. So anyway, all that's just the preface that he knows a lot about movies. He sees them all the time. He works with them. And he says this on Facebook today. I've never heard more crying and bawling at a movie ever. than at Les Mis. There was a bloodbath of tears, he said. Again, this guy's seen them all. He's a guy who likes movies so much, he'll go to a movie knowing it's probably going to be terrible just because he studies film and went to school for that and stuff. And,
That's awesome.
He's seen his fair share of tearjerkers. And, so for him to say that, that kind of was like, wow, that it's that emotional. And then you confirm that. And a lot of people are saying how good it is, emotional, and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if I'm in the mood for a bunch of crying, not saying I would, but if it's that good of a movie, I might have to suck it up and get into the movie theater here pretty soon.
You take your girl, and you go and you watch it. And I promise you, at the end of it, you will not be disappointed. The movie is truly brilliant. And the only spoiler that I'm going to say, Heather, is that Anne Hathaway stole that movie. She had
really
me in tears. She was amazing. Her acting is so intense. Like her facial features. You think of Anne Hathaway as the Princess Bride from back in the early 2000s. She was this bubblegum poppy thing. She blew me away with how amazing she was and how exact she was, and I had no idea she can sing. And the thing with this movie, and then I'm going to kind of ramble on a little bit, the thing with this movie is that normally when you have musicals, the music is already pre-recorded and they just kind of add it to the movie, where the actors are just kind of lip-syncing, if you will. They're singing it, but the music that was already recorded is kind of overlying the music, so when you get a movie, the soundtrack really does match the song from the movie. This is very different. The way that they actually had it set up was that the actors sang as they were acting, because there's no speaking lines. It's all music. They're singing constantly. So when they would do a take, they would have to sing that part over again. And that was really, I think, what blew me away, is that knowing that it was not a pre-recorded thing, knowing that the emotions that was transcending through the movie that I was watching was actually taped by them at that given time, just how the depth of acting that these characters have blew me away. The music is amazing. The acting is amazing. Their facial features, especially Anne Hathaway, her facial features, the way that they created her, her character, the way that she embodied that character was by far the best I've ever seen. And for me, she deserves an Oscar for that, because she blew me away.
Wow. I mean, I know Anne Hathaway is a very good actress. I would say vastly underrated. I've seen her in a few movies. Like you said, The Princess Bride, she's kind of had that dorky, teen appeal just from that. But I've seen her on SNL. She's actually pretty funny on that. She was in Love and Other Drugs, which I thought was pretty good, and I thought she did a great job in it. You're saying she's fantastic in here. I'm excited to see it. Heather loves her. Heather Ray in the chat has been saying how great she is, and says that she was good in Dark Knight Rises as Catwoman.
She was.
Princess Bride. I meant Princess Diaries, not Princess Bride. Thank you for calling me on that. The late hour and the sickness is getting to me. You're right. Well, wasn't she in Devil Wears Prada as well or something?
She was, and that I think was the beginning of the transition of her going from this comedic role type of thing, where it was just kind of campy, to actually being a legitimate actress.
Like an actress, yeah. And remember, she bombed with James Franco, which wasn't entirely their fault. But they bombed. They were hosting the Oscars, wasn't it, a year ago or so. It was just so bad. But, part of that was the writing. Part was it wasn't what people were expecting. And you kind of forgot about her. But I'm glad she made a comeback, because she is a good actress.
Fucking sucks anyway. I can't stand James Franco. James Franco, if you're listening, I fucking can't stand you.
There you go. He does listen. He is an avid listener. So he just offended him.
So,
I am... We're losing our James Franco listenership. He just cut our viewership or listenership in half.
Oh, well.
But anyway.
Sorry.
Oh, well.
We'll tune in next week. Yes, I recommend you watch the movie. I recommend you watch the movie. I recommend everybody in the chat room and everybody that's listening tonight, if you guys have not already seen it, go watch it. If you have already seen it, watch it again, because I'm pretty sure that I might have to go and watch it again, because it was just that good.
And I'm sure it's going to be at the top of the movie charts, too. I'm sure we'll be talking about it next week as well. We're back at our normal time. Quick self-promotion there. We'll be back Tuesday nights for those who don't normally listen to us. We're on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern. We're on the day after Christmas, just kind of a special schedule shift. Thanks for being with us. But, yeah, we're normally on Tuesdays at 8.
Yes. I do want to give a shout-out to – I want to give a shout-out to – if anybody knows me, I am a huge – food person. I love food. I love watching food. I love eating food. I love critiquing food. I am a food junkie. And I have been watching, I've been following the Food Network's The Next Iron Chef. And this season was called The Next Iron Chef Road to Redemption. And it was past Iron Chef contestants that have faltered and failed and that didn't get the title of the Iron Chef. They were kind of cut out. Out of the competition a little too soon. This season, they had a couple people that were brought back. I might be going way over people's heads, but Chef Amanda Freitag, she's a brilliant chef. She's very good. People might know her a lot from she's a judge on Chopped. If you guys watch Chopped on Food Network, she's a judge there. My favorite is Chef Alex Vermicelli, who had a show called Alex's Day Off, where she would actually cook. She was a judge on Chopped as well, but she also has two very, very good restaurants in New York, mainly Butter, where she's the executive chef. And I've fallen in love with her just from watching her critique food. And when she did her show, the way that she described food was so poetic. It was beautiful the way that she would just describe the flavors and the taste and the texture of food. And it inspires me to get in the kitchen every day when I watch her show. But she ultimately earned the prestigious title of being the next Iron Chef, and she is now going to join the reigns of some of the most formidable chefs that are out there, Bobby Flay, Masahara Morimoto. I mean, she is now one of the elite chefs that are out there that are really second to none. So I want to give her a great big shout-out. Alex, you really deserved it. If you do not watch the Food Network, I highly recommend it. And I know that we're going to be seeing more from her now that she's an Iron Chef, and she'll be doing Iron Chef America. Usually it's on Sunday nights at about 9 or 10. So check your local listings. Food Network, Alex Vermicelli. Love her, because I do. Look. There you go.
I am well aware of her comings and goings as far as the Food Network is concerned, just because of your Twitter feed. When Iron Chef is on, you are all Team Alex everywhere on there.
and despite that, you should still follow Topher. Always insightful at iTopher2 on Twitter. I was happy to see that she won, because I know you're a big fan of hers. And I'm sure a lot of people who listen to us also love Food Network. And all the food pornography that it shows throughout the day is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And speaking of pornography,
on the show. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, do you like that transition? That folks, is what we call in the biz a good transition. No, that did remind me. I didn't know how we were going to transition to something after that. So I didn't know if we were going to have time, and we do. And as usual, towards the end of the show, I've got something that's a little bit dirty.
Oh,
maybe
God.
I'll embarrass Topher. No, I'm just kidding. It's nothing nothing like our topics from the past. But I mentioned food pornography. Well, Philadelphia, they are having a little problem with their kids in their schools, apparently. You may have seen this in the news. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, is giving that a new meaning, as they are installing condom dispensers in 22 city high schools, where students as young as 14, of course, freshmen, will be able to receive condoms for free. Now, they're doing this because they're trying to combat a, quote, epidemic, and this is from ABC News, of sexually transmitted diseases among the city's teenagers. So apparently there's a huge problem in the Philadelphia teenage community with STDs. In fact, this was kind of shocking when I read it. 5% of high schoolers in that city tested positive for diseases, which, you know, okay, 5% might not seem like a big deal, but when that includes HIV, in this day and age, that's a little shocking.
Yeah. So, yeah, 22 city high schools, when kids come back from their Christmas and New Year's break, there's going to be condom dispensers either, you know, by the nurse's office or the guidance counselor's office or whatever. They can just go get condoms for free. So thoughts. Now, this is, again, people 14, you know, as young as 14, up in the course to 18, maybe older, being given free condoms at their school. Now, you know, you're going to have the people on the one hand, they're abstinence only, how could you do this? But when you're talking about 5% of kids are getting STDs that young, that is a little troublesome. For me, I don't have a problem with it. Now, I don't have kids, so I know once I am a parent, I'm sure my views will change drastically on this because that seems to be what happens with people.
Right.
I don't have a big issue with it at all. I'd rather people be safe than not. So if it's going to happen, which you know it is, because as every study pretty much that comes out shows, abstinence schooling doesn't work anyway, and that's a topic for another time. But I don't have a problem with it. We're in already we're getting comments. Burson says, better safe than sorry. And, yeah, we might not want to think about kids that young. For instance, Heather Ray saying her goddaughter's turning 14 next month. Certainly don't want to think about people that young having sex, especially if they're related to you. But seriously, if you knew they were going to, no matter what, I would prefer they're safe. And, hey, if the school's giving out free condoms, I say that's more power to them, especially because there's a problem.
All right, so hear me out. I think
I will.
It's absolutely stupid. And
here's
why.
Okay, all right.
If you educate your children, both at home and you educate your students, there's the incidence of having any of these issues should be greatly reduced. I think a lot of the fact is that, and it might not just be Philadelphia, I think it's across the globe, that parents aren't spending the time or feel uncomfortable with discussing sex with their children, which means that they're learning this crap on the internet and on Facebook and on Twitter, and the parents do not communicate with their children enough, and they do not set expectations. When I was a kid, I learned what it is, and I learned that this is something that you protect. This is not anything that you want to just jump in the sack because you think you love this person. You really need to engage your children. You need to educate your children, and you need to create a line of open conversation where you do not judge your child by them talking to you and having thoughts and ideas and opinions, because you know what? That matters, and it's important for them to express that to you, because if they're not, they're not going to be able to get it out, and they're going to make the wrong decision, and you're going to have 14-year-old kids with babies and some kind of syphilis or even worse, something that can't be, you know, rubbed away with ointment or cream. You really need to talk to your children, and I think having condoms in the school is just another way of saying, oh, I can have sex because now I can just wear a condom and now I'm safer. No, that's not the case at all.
Yeah,
it really is giving, I think, for me, a bad message.
I see where you're going with that. Now, as far as the parents, I could not agree more. As uncomfortable as it may be, there does need to be an open line of communication. And as some people are saying that are listening, you know, that goes for all sorts of different parts of a child's life. You know, we can relate this back to the gun violence and seeing a kid who's having problems and talking to them and getting them help. For sure, that needs to be done. Now, and as I'm saying this, I'm getting a message on Twitter from Chris Person who said the exact thing I'm about to say. So, there's going to be those parents that just aren't going to do it, or parents that can't be there. Maybe a parent, they got divorced, they moved, a parent died. The other parent's so busy, you know, working, whatever. You know it's going
to
happen. There's going to be those kids that are going
to
get lost
in
the system. Right, and these be taught in the school. Now, Philadelphia, I don't know this for sure, but being in the Northeast, I would imagine is a school that teaches some form of sex education, as most schools that I've encountered or heard about in the Northeast do.
Right.
I don't know of any abstinence-only schools unless they're a religious school. So it's being taught in some capacity. So I agree with you on that. I don't think putting the condoms in the school necessarily is going to give kids free rein. I don't know if that's going to make some kids think it's okay to do it. It's hard to say.
Well, that's like putting a basket of lollipops on the counter
sure.
and saying, take one if you need them. How many of those lollipops are going to go?
I mean, really.
I see what you're saying, and I think you're going to get kids who take them and don't ever use them. You're going to get kids who take them and do. You know, I think it's just like anything else. No matter what you do, it's gonna affect people differently. And same with abstinence only. Some kids are going to buy into it. Some kids are going to listen to it. Other kids aren't. You flip it around and you teach sex ed in some capacity, you might get completely different responses. So for me, I don't have a huge issue with it. I know what you're saying. Parents do need to get more involved, but I think it's kind of cool that a school that has a problem, and for those who are wondering, this school district, they actually do private, you know, confidential, they offer to the students confidential testing for STDs, which I think is kind of a neat thing as well, you know, because a lot of kids might not go get tested and then spread a disease, you know, because they're afraid of telling their parents they need to go to a doctor or maybe even talking to a family doctor, whatever. They offer this program. So that's how they got these numbers, first of all, for those who are wondering. It seems to be a problem, and they're making an effort where parents might be failing. Maybe the education is failing. Kids are going to have sex. Kids have been having sex since before we were born, probably before people like to admit, even, you know, back when we like to think everybody was pure and innocent, it was happening with people that age. And I think it's good to make sure that, you know, stop the spread of disease and see anything to stop teen pregnancy. And then some of these issues with bad parents come from young parents who weren't ready to have kids. Not all of them, of course. But it was interesting, and this isn't completely unprecedented. Apparently, just in August, for instance, Springfield, Massachusetts, the school board did something similar, except that they also wanted to provide them to middle school, which means that contraceptives would have been available to students as young as 11 years old. So that,
nope,
to me, is slightly different.
Nope.
But I think we're going to actually disagree on this one. I'm actually okay with it. Now, would I go into a school that doesn't seem to have any issue and say, you need to put condoms in here? No, I wouldn't. If there doesn't seem to be any kind of issue with teen pregnancy or STDs, and again, that goes back to the needing to have the testing, but no. I don't think this is something that will work in every school, but when there's clearly a problem in this area, I'm all for it. I'm cool with it. I don't think it's going to make more people do it, you know.
The school board made it.
The school board made it, and they opened it up to parents to complain. And according to the article from ABC News, the parents were made aware of the program back in October, so just a few months ago, and they were given the chance to opt their children out of receiving the condoms. How that would have worked as far as when they came to pick them up or what have you, I don't know, but they gave the parents that opportunity. And they also said to ABC that they had not received any specific calls from parents objecting to the program. They didn't provide the number of parents who chose to opt their children out. So apparently any kind of grumblings they've heard have not been, you know, specifically to them. It might have been stuff that they heard through the grapevines from what the article is saying. So now this might go back to the fact that this was a problem because of what you're saying. The parents aren't involved enough, and that might be the case because no one really had any
opinion on this program. It's no easy scapegoat. Oh, I don't have to teach my children about sex anymore and get rid of this whole uncomfortable conversation that I'm going to have with my child and because they're going to have condoms in the school, and that'll take care of it. No, idiot.
Well, now,
that's not how it works.
Now, you and I live in the South now, so we've kind of seen both sides to the sex education and people's values and standards, well, as far as what they say in person.
Right.
I don't think this would fly in the South. So, you know, you say that parents are uncomfortable talking to kids. I think that's the case here, just as it is in the Northeast, just as it is in the West.
No,
wherever.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. However, I don't think if this happened in one of the schools down here, especially outside of the Charleston area, I think there'd be a huge uproar over it if it was even brought up to begin with. It would be the biggest news story down here that a school was trying to do this. You know, why wasn't it such a big deal in the Northeast? Because I don't think parents care any less or any more, depending on where you're at, you know. You can make generalizations about different parts of the country or cities versus rural or suburban.
Right.
But, you know, according to this, it was not a big deal at all to these parents, whereas I think down here it would be. I don't know. It's interesting. And it's one of those things where, just like with the abstinence only, there's going to be studies and things that prove or disprove things' effectiveness, and there's really no way to know because it involves so many variables of a child's life.
Right. I'm trying to put myself back in high school, and I'm trying to think if I had an opportunity to get free condoms, if that would have changed anything for me, if that would have motivated me more to have sex. And honestly, I don't think it would have. Maybe because if I really wanted condoms, I could have gone and bought them in high school if I really wanted to or was going to use them or what have you.
Right.
I don't know, though. I mean, I don't think, just based on who I was at the time and what I was going through, I don't think that would have changed anything for me. You know what I mean? But everybody's different. Sounds like for you,
yeah,
personally, maybe it wouldn't have affected you, but you were afraid it might affect other people to give them the green light. I just don't, and now I don't think you're wrong. I think there will be those kids who do take it as a green light. But I really don't think it's going to skew the numbers anyway. That's just, I don't know, that's how I feel on it.
Yeah, you know, it's fine if you want to have, okay, so here's my final thought on that, because I know we're getting close to kind of ending. My final thought on this is it's fine if you want to have them available for your children, but be a parent first and educate your children as to what that means. When they get one, what are they hoping to achieve? And do they know that it's not just, you know, fun and games and you know, that kind of stuff, that there's real serious consequences when things do go bad? And you have to make sure that you let them know and that they are well aware of, yes, it's fun, and yes, it's enjoyable, and yes, it's, you know, it's a good thing, it's a beautiful thing when it does happen, but know that when it's done too soon and too early and you're uneducated, you don't know what you're setting yourself up for. And yes, condoms are a mode of protection, but they are not, it's not 100%. And there is no 100% bet that you're not going to end up with a child or some kind of illness. And at that point, if you want to allow your child to get, then by all means, as long as they're educated, and as long as, I think, if you open up a line of communication, either with a school or with your parents or whoever.
Make very good points, and I don't disagree with that at all. I think you're 100% on. I think everybody agrees with you there. You know, as far as the parents that fail, you know, that's where I think we differ as far as what the school's role is. But I agree, parents need to be more involved. And it reminded me while you were talking, we don't have time for it now, but I'll have my brother get together some good stories for me and I can share them on a future show. My brother is a teacher, which I mentioned last week when all the shootings in Connecticut were going on. It concerned me, of course, because he is a teacher in Connecticut. He is a PE/health teacher. So part of the year he's doing the gym stuff, you know, sports and whatnot. But the other part of the year, he is in a classroom teaching them about, you know, different parts about biology and such, and part of that is sex education. And he has some freaking hilarious stories. I'll use it as a teaser and make you guys tune in Tuesday at 8 o'clock. He's got some great stories. I'll ask him to give me some of those that I can share. I've got another friend who does the same thing. I should run it by him too. But the things these kids say, this shows why we need education. This shows why we need condoms. I will show you. These kids are too stupid because either their parents aren't talking to them or they're not talking to their parents or whatever. But no, I've got some good stories for you. But with that said, we are winding down here, and I will let Topher end the show here in a moment, as he always does, with a quote. Before we do that, I want to say a big thank you for dealing with us. We're both under the weather, and hopefully that didn't come through, besides our whining about being sick periodically. Hopefully that didn't come through over the airwaves. Thank you so much for joining us on a night we're not normally on, a day after Christmas. I hope you had an amazing holiday, even if you don't celebrate it. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. That's your good deed. Go. You've paid it forward to us just by listening and participating. If you don't fully participate, you can also help us out on Facebook, No Rules, Just Mics. Go like us on there. We're on Twitter, at No Rules, Just Mics. Individually, Topher is at iTopher2. And then myself is at Sang225, which is SENG225. You can also check out my website, All Things Charleston. Even if you're not from here, it's holycitycenter.com. Don't forget to tune into the normal schedule. Guilty Pleasure is normally on after us at 9 o'clock. on Tuesdays. Jake Pentland is on Saturdays at 4. Guilty Pleasure, of course, is Monday through Friday at 9 as well, not just after us on Tuesday. So thank you, Toad, for an amazing show, and I will let you take it from here to finish out another great edition of No Rules, Just Mike.
Yes. Everybody, have a great night. Thank you again so much for listening to us. We might not get to you guys by the end of the year, so I hope that you guys have a wonderful year. I hope that you guys celebrate it. And thank you so much for listening to us. We can't wait for the next year to come. My sign-off quote is by Walt Disney. Movies can and do have tremendous influence in shaping young lives in the realm of entertainment towards ideals and objectives of our normal adulthood. Everybody, love each other. Have a great night. Have a great, great week. I know that the whole holiday thing's kind of screwing everybody up, but love each other. Have a good one, guys.
See you all later.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you ready for this
you
one?
We are.
Go.
We say and hope we want, give it to you nonstop. When it plays anytime, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll, we never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
That's
hello,
what she said.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Uncensored Radio. This is Karen Ashley. We are live tonight. It is Tuesday, right? February 5th.
All day, every day.
All day, every day. That, my friends, is the fabulous Katrina Johnson. How are you, my love?
I'm a little confused. I just woke up from a nap, and I didn't know where I was, what day it was, what hour it was. I'm glad you just reminded me.
That sounds like a regular
like
Tuesday to me.
We like that. We don't want you to have all your, your mental capacities. We also have Jeffrey Emmett in the house. How are you, Jeffrey?
I'm peachy, but I don't understand. It sounds like a regular Tuesday for Katrina. Bitch don't know where she is, what's happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he's right, Kat.
I know, at least I'm not like Jeffrey, and I'm not mourning the loss of a ferret right now.
Oh. Now, you know, if little Crystal were to, God forbid, pass away, it would be catastrophic.
I just go out and replace her the same day.
Huh?
I just go and replace her the same day.
That's not right.
That's what I did, though.
She's a hooker with the heart of gold, but not. She doesn't have any sentimental feelings in that heart of gold.
Ain't nobody else have that.
I know. I feel very bad for Topher. He is in a horrible place. He's lost 2 pets in the last 2 months. So our condolences go out to him. And if you are friends with him on Twitter or Facebook, please send him some love because he's not good. Not good at all. You know what, Katrina? We were talking about you last night behind your back.
Oh, man.
What? We were?
Yeah, we were talking about you because I had said something about, we were talking about responsibility and, you know, we were talking about Rihanna. Well, no, me, like a dumbass, I was like, Katrina's responsible. I said, yeah, she's a party girl, but at the end of the day, she's responsible. And Jeffrey had to remind me that it was you that went and got the crew drunk while we were filming the reality show, and that night they were fired.
I just saved us from hours of wasted footage. I did the right thing. I just brought out.
Yeah, you actually did. Oh, man. It was crazy. So Katrina actually did save us. She actually did a good deed in her debacle of getting the crew and Joe wasted. That's the one thing she's good for. She will get you wasted if you hang out with her.
I want to make sure you have a good time.
We've come to the conclusion you're a bad influence and you're not a role model. How do you feel about that?
I like to model on the runway, on the street, in my room in front of the mirror. But I never said I was a role model.
I hear you. So, speaking of role models, We were talking about this gentleman last night. We talked about him a couple nights ago, Chris Brown. It hit TMZ today that LAPD, you know how they do their investigations, and you know he was supposed to do community service, and he had all these hours because he punched Rihanna in the face like 8 times. It's come out that he potentially has faked this community service. And they're moving forward with an investigation.
I told you.
Fake community service, and you're Chris Brown, please.
Right. Well, you know what happened? He had his community service transferred to Virginia because that's where he's from. That's where he owns a home. And he was going to do his community service in his hometown. Well, when they went to, like, get the hours and kind of, you know, verify everything, none of the probation officers, none of those people would go on record and say that they actually saw him doing the community service he had reported.
He is so could have paid somebody
so
50 bucks and they'd have done it.
I know. He's so in trouble. Like, they're, like, moving forward with the investigation. He's going to potentially be in a violation of his probation. Not on top of that, they're still investigating the whole thing with Frank Ocean, who he punched in the face and called a faggot. Over a parking spot. Like, this kid is out of control.
I'm glad that he's getting called out. It's probably all the steroids. I mean, that's probably why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but good. I mean, it's about time somebody said, hey, idiot, act right.
I know. It's pretty bad. It's one of those things that I just, like, I was, like, floored. Like, my mouth was open. Like, I was like, this dude has the nerve. He has got the nerve. Like, you got to do your time, homeboy. Like, you messed up. You have your nerve to fake the system, and I'm so glad, because you know a lot of people probably fake the system but don't get caught, but I'm so glad that he's been potentially getting caught, because it's like, are you serious right now? Like, it's bad enough what you did, and it's bad enough that you're just, like, still a jerk, you're still, like, a hothead, and I don't know if you remember, but, like, probably 6 months ago, he got into a huge brawl, him and his homies, at a club with Drake. They got into a huge fight. It was supposedly over Rihanna.
Oh, yeah.
And he, like, they were fighting so bad and throwing bottles and, like, glass was getting broken that Tony Parker, who used to be married to Eva Longoria, he's a basketball player for the San Antonio
Spurs. Another cheater.
Yeah, he's always such a cheater. So he was in the club at the same time. He actually had a bottle hit him up, or some glass flew into his eye. Like, he went to the hospital, ended up being okay, but later on admitted that he almost lost his eye. Like, this is a professional basketball player who almost lost his eye because of this stupid bar brawl, and he's now going on the record saying, I told you Chris Brown was a hothead. I told you he's an asshole. This kid has emotional problems. Y'all need to do something about him.
Yeah.
I would have sued, too, because you imagine you're a basketball. Like, he is literally the point guard for the San Antonio Spurs. He's probably their best player. He's mega, 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 mega important in the NBA. He's a huge draw. He's won several championships. He's still got another, like, probably 4 or 5 years left that he can play. And he could have potentially, just by being at the wrong place at the wrong time, lost one of his eyes because Chris Brown decided to fight somebody over Rihanna. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
He's a piece of shit. I'm going to say it again.
God. I really wanted to feel like he had rehabilitated himself. Like, I told you. You know, Jeffrey always tells me the truth, and I'm always, like, the person who like, finds the best in people. I am really starting to question my judgment. Like, Jeff, you're on the money every single time.
I know I am.
God, I don't want you to be right.
He's a douche.
Okay, it's like all of my friends with their relationships, they'll all come to me or whatever, and I'm telling you, usually in the beginning, I peg their relationship from the start, and then, you know, and it's like a situation will arise, and I'll be like, bitch, I'm telling you, don't do what you normally do, because XYZ is going to happen.
And then doesn't XYZ happen? And they all, Big Shannon, all of them. You
wow.
are right. Bitch, I know I'm fucking right. And if you listen to me, you wouldn't have to go through all this bullshit.
Yeah. You know what it is? In my life, I don't take any bullshit. But when it comes to other people's lives or when it comes to people, I don't want to be I'm not one of those people who tries to judge. Like, I feel like it ain't my place to judge you, and you can make a mistake in your life, and I would hope you learn from it. And I'm going to assume that you're going to do better in your life because I think that most people want to do better in their life. I'm so
wrong. But you know what happens when you assume.
I know, right? They say a dog never changes his spots. And it takes a long time for people to change.
Where did you get that one? That's new.
That must be a Texas thing. They say that. Like, they're like, you know, a dog never changes his spots. So it's like, if you got a dog,
I thought it was
gonna be a dog.
A leopard never changes its spots.
That too. I think it's better because if you say a dog, we refer to men as dogs sometimes. So it's like a dog never changes its spots. A dog. That's the Texas version, the dog. I talked to my dad this morning, so I probably have my Texas accent today. He's a real country.
Well, have you guys heard about the Ed Hardy CEO that's being sued?
Yes. Tell the story, though, because I'm sure our audience hasn't heard it. Tell the story.
All right. Well, the former CEO of Guido-famed shirt company Ed Hardy is being sued by a female masseuse who claims that he tried to force her into a happy ending and then into banging his wife.
What?
Yeah.
That's just
I want to know, how did that conversation go? Like, hey, I'm famous from the Jersey Shore douchebags wearing my schmedium T-shirts. Will you give me a happy ending? And then will you take on my wife, Mrs. Guido? How do you even ask that? I want to know how that conversation went.
I know. It's just wrong on so many levels.
But, I mean, it's dirty because in her lawsuit, the L.A. County Superior Court attorney said that this creepy-ass dude forcefully grabbed and pulled her into his exposed penis, grabbed her breasts and buttocks, and suggested she perform sex acts with his wife while he watched.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Talk about getting the wrong impression. Y'all been massaging somebody's back, and all of a sudden, wow.
That is.
You know
crazy.
What though? I think people are just sick. Like, there's so many people who they think they've got a lot of money, they think they've got a lot of power, and the power really goes to their head. They lose sight of like rules and laws, and they don't give a fuck. You know.
This guy
well,
has way too
much money.
Well,
they get away with everything. Look at Chris Brown. I mean, how many times has he got to start a fight or throw a chair through a window or beat somebody's ass to get in trouble? It took him not doing his community service. And, like, you know, Rihanna, I'm sure, will be right there by his fucking side being the doting dumb bitch. You know, like, come on, give me a break.
I want to just
like,
shake
mark
her.
My word, he's going to beat her again, if not kill her.
Oh, I hope not. I wanted to just shake her. I want to go, girl, what is wrong with you? You can get somebody else. They'll be just as cute, and they'll sex you up just as well. And trust me, you won't have to sleep with one eye open.
Right.
Like, I would be afraid. Like, wouldn't you just be afraid, Katrina? Like, be like, okay, this dude can snap any second. He can snap. He's done it before. You know, because what
That's
was that
scary.
Car ride? What is that car ride when you're like, because they said they were both in the car, and he gets a text message, and she realizes it's from another girl. And you go, like, you start arguing, and then it goes from 0 to 60. And all of a sudden, you're getting strangled, beat in the head, and like, he, like, kicks you out the car and then takes off and leaves you there. What happened? Like in the police report, she talks about where he was strangling her and she almost lost consciousness. And he bit her twice and then he punched her. Like, I mean, it was, like, horrible. Not just, like, a backhand. He, like,
psychotic. I'd be freaking out saying, man, I thought we were just going to go get some in and out. I choked out on the side of the car and then, you know,
right.
And on a tree stump. What happened?
Right, like, motherfucker, I got the Grammys to do tomorrow. What you doing? Fucking my money.
All I wanted was a double-double. What's wrong with you?
Right.
This bitch, all I wanted was a double-double.
You know, because it's, like, late at night. You probably going to go get something to eat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just wrong. Like, ooh. I just don't know. I just think he's spiraling, like, it gets worse and worse and worse. It's just like, I think he's in this crazy mode. I really think, you think he does other drugs other than marijuana involved?
Duh. First of all, steroids. He probably does coke because
he's kind of skinny.
Those things make you aggressive. Yeah, but he's a little buff. He's more buff than he ever was before. He's probably like pounds heavier.
Mm.
What else?
I think
probably,
you're right.
Probably a little coke.
Mm-hmm.
It's just insanity. Insanity. Oh, my gosh. So, Jeffrey, I forgot I had something to do last night, and I forgot that Dallas came on. You saw it, though, right?
Yeah, I watched it this evening with Joyce.
I need a recap, please. We were supposed to discuss it. Like, we were supposed to discuss Dallas, at least a portion of it, on Tuesday's shows. I just came up with that.
Darn, we're going to miss it. Shucks.
He can give me a recap because I'm going to watch it even if I know what's going to happen.
Oh, God. Jeffrey. Make it look happy, okay?
You want to turn up,
please.
You want to call us back?
Yeah, I got shit to do.
Oh, damn it. You know, you stay right there because we're gonna make you like Dallas if it's the last thing we do.
It might be. I might start dating Chris Brown just so I can end the misery.
Oh,
you'll be Dallas if you date Chris Brown. Like, you'll be the real deal. Like, your shit's going down every day at your house.
And I can wear his fur coat.
Mm-hmm. Craziness. Okay, Jeffrey, give me my rundown.
Okay, let me try to think. JR's son convinced his mother that Elena or whatever is the Antichrist, and he needs to get her controlling share of the company, so he gets his mom to go be a bitch and go, like, you know, throw down to her and be like, this is what's up. You got 30 days to get your shit together, or, yeah. Meanwhile, we find out there's nothing they can do about what's his puss stealing Bobby's wife's daughter as a child, and then we find out she was a drug addict and apparently a little crazy. So that was good stuff. And they found out that the brother, what was his name there? Tommy. That crazy girl, Pamela, killed him in her apartment. They found the blood splatter. So, girl, it's good stuff. Like, it's good stuff. And it, like, killing me. Like, I'm watching it, and my mother and I were like, he can't be dead. He just can't.
Who, Tommy?
No, JR. Like, he looks so good. You know, you never know that he was even sick.
Right. Yeah, because they were shooting all this, leading up to, he shot with 6 episodes. You know what the thing is though, like, I love the way that they're writing these characters, because it's like, you know, the character Pamela, who's now Pamela, she was such a meek and, like, weak person last season. Like, I hated her. Like, I wanted her. I was like, why is she with him? And now she's like a bitch. Like, she came back a whole nother person, and I love her. Like, I love a bad girl.
Well, doesn't everybody want their kind of making
That's why she loves us, Jeffrey. That's why she loves us.
Yeah, right.
I'm telling you, that's why you love Dallas, because you could, like, this girl's a bad girl.
I know,
you like drama?
Yeah.
Katrina is kind of Dallas.
Yeah, she's got big
hair. I have big hair and big boobies.
Uh-huh, big hair, big boobs. And she got drama. Every Thursday, we need her episodes on Thursday, because usually Thursday something happens in Katrina's life. That's what Jeffrey says. He goes, Katrina's life falls apart every Thursday.
It's true.
Yeah, he called me out on Thursdays. I don't know why Thursday is a magical day, but if that's the day that you say, okay.
It is. Your life goes into train wreck mode on Thursdays. You get accosted at work. Your car gets smashed.
Oh, well, that happens every Thursday. The car gets smashed. That's a fact. You're right now.
That poor car.
I know. My poor little baby Catmobile. It's been so good to me, and I've been so bad to it.
Well, I just sent you. Did you see the picture I posted about the new cat? The what should be the new Catmobile?
No, but I'm gonna look you up right now.
Now, Katrina, I have to ask you: is Jeffrey still blocked from your Twitter?
Yep.
No, I'm not blocked from the Twitter. I'm blocked from the Facebook page.
Katrina Johnson, this has gone on long enough. I'm reprimanding you, young lady.
Oh, yeah? Okay, I have an idea. Why don't you go date Chris Brown, trying to see the good in everybody? Just wait.
He posted things on my Facebook wall, and I didn't block him. He's remained my administrator, one of my administrators.
Well, if you're a glutton for punishment, I'll just call you Rihanna number two.
Oh, shit.
Oh, out. Oh, so Katrina, you want to tell me how great Beyonce was on the halftime show?
No, I don't really want to do that.
She really doesn't, because then I'll get on her Twitter account and fucking say she likes vagina.
We went at it yesterday, me and Jeffrey, and I read your text. I was like, Katrina even said she was good. She had to give it up.
Okay, fine. Beyonce killed it.
Killed it.
I'll give her that.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that she had Destiny's Child as her background singers made me like her even a little bit better.
I know. I fell in love. I was like, where's the Destiny's Child album? Give it to me. Give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to feel it.
That was very good because it made me think of her as less of a fame whore.
Me and the Chick Chat girls are gonna start an Indiegogo campaign so I can get me a Beyonce weave. I was on her show last night. They said they would help a sister out. We're gonna start an Indiegogo campaign because you know her weave is like $1 quadrillion. So let's slowly work our way this year. You know, hopefully this year we can afford a Beyonce weave.
Or like,
I told him
just buy a car.
I told him. Remember the call where she was like, when she was kneeling and she kept slinging her hair like back and forth and it was kind of going into the crowd. I was like, I couldn't have been in that crowd because I would have snatched one of them tracks.
I would have been selling that on eBay right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't even sell it. I'd have taped it in my head.
I think you would have gotten arrested on the spot if you snatched one of her weave tracks.
Nah,
you know?
Because of the lock went out. They wouldn't be able to find her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
she
probably has pencils on that weave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, sector 4, like 2, it's perfect, it's in place.
You know how J-Lo insured her ass? I bet you Beyonce insured the weave.
Oh, yeah. She probably insures her legs, her badonkadonk, because that's her moneymaker.
That's your booty.
You know? Uh-oh. I was, like, loving it.
I don't really love her songs. I think it's overkill, overdose, but then I don't like the way she dances usually. I thought her dancing was amazing. I thought she killed that shitty choreographer she's had for the last 10 years, and I thought that she just was absolutely flawless.
Jeffrey's throwing up in his mouth.
I really fucking am. That's why I ain't saying shit right now, because it's just going to be a motherfucking
type. He's a big onsay hater. He's a hater. Have you seen the hater's new G-Ride, his new Barbie car that he's going to get?
Who?
Jeffrey.
What kind of car are you getting, Jeffrey? You didn't even tell me.
He posted the ideal Barbie Herbie car. It's like our worlds have collided. It's beautiful. I want it so bad. It's like a little baby Barbie car. It's a Beetle, so it's a Herbie, but it's white with pink racing stripes, pink side mirrors, pink rims, and a pink stripe down the door. It is the cutest little bastard I've ever seen.
You would drive that, Jeffrey?
Just to piss off Joey, yeah.
Well, I would drive it. Why would Joe get pissed? Hell.
Why would Joey get pissed?
Pink? Are you kidding me? He's already tripping that I got a Beetle to begin with. And then I came home with a pink one. It will be all over.
You know, I was in Auburn, New York, and I never even rode in your Beetle.
You didn't?
No. You had me riding around.
I didn't have
it. Mythic car.
Yeah, because she had mine. Well, because, girl, where were we? It'd been like a fucking clown car if we all were in it. I mean, shit.
You didn't think this through, Jeffrey. You didn't think it through on, you know, how we were going to, you know, when you bought that car, how you was going to hang with your crew. And you roll deep. Like, every time you're going somewhere, there's like eight people with you. So,
well, that's why I got a smaller car, so people didn't have to keep fucking riding with me.
See how he is. Oh, man. Hey, James. Where's Jamesy?
Yeah.
How's that love affair going?
Well, not very good. Apparently, I'm a bad international boyfriend.
Oh, no! What'd you
do? I didn't notice that he cut his hair.
Oh, damn. This kid's too deep. This is way too deep.
Listen,
too quick.
That is trouble. You better recognize
that. But here's the thing,
Like, I'd be okay if you had sex, but now you got to notice a haircut on Skype? I mean, come on now.
Yeah, you need to notice. Okay. Of course you notice. Someone's going to notice for the fresh weave, they're getting smacked. Chris Brown style.
In my defense, I didn't talk to him at all over the weekend because he wasn't online at all over the weekend. I wasn't online all that much over the weekend because I was busy. And so it's like when I got on, today was the first day that I talked to him since Friday. And so, of course, I'm not going to notice that shit. I was just so excited to actually talk to him.
I mean, that was you right now that you said you're excited to talk to him, but no, sorry, you're in trouble.
Yeah, it sounds like bullshit to me.
So tell me, do you really get upset if someone doesn't notice, like, a new
hairdo?
Yes, I do. You do?
Yeah, you should know what I look like, and you should appreciate it.
Of course she's going to get pissed.
I'm not going to lie, I would get pissed too. Only because my haircut was really noticeable. I had hair, and then the next thing you know, it's gone. Like, I have none.
I know. You go drastic. You go drastic, James. Every time you do something, you go real drastic.
Well, here's the thing. The first haircut I tried, the style just did not work at all. So I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. Just shave it all off. It's hair. It'll grow back. Whatever. So, like, that's why I went so drastic, because the hairstyle I wanted wouldn't work, and this was the only other option.
What was the hairstyle you were going for?
Hairstyle I was going for was kind of more, I guess, emo-ish, where I had it shaved.
Surprise,
on the
surprise.
Emo-ish.
Emo.
There was mo-ish.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know, because, like, I got this friend of mine, and every time he sees, you know, someone gay, he goes, oh, he's a mo, because he's gay. So I was like, what the hell is a mo? And he goes, it's a homo. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to slap you right now. And so now he's always like, okay, that guy's a mo. Like, he's like, he told me my gaydar was totally off, which I'm like, I guess it is because, but you know what it is? I realize I don't really invest my time into, like, checking people out. Like, if I meet you, and I keep it moving. I don't really, like, analyze people and, like,
oh, girl, see, you got to stop looking for the good in people. There is no fun in that. Let me tell you, I don't way to succeed in checking out bitches, okay?
What
you
do?
Can you explain this to her, please?
Yeah, please explain it to me.
Girl, you are missing out. Okay, here's what you do, Miss Photographer.
Okay.
Stop trying to look for all the good in people.
I gotta make people look good. I never do.
You
gotta
find
the real shit.
Here's what you do. You first do a head scan up and down. Like, start up like eye level. You go up to their hair. You check for bald spots, lice, bugs, whatever. Check for all of it. And then you scan down. You look at their eyes, their nose, their lips. You look for whatever is disproportionate and how it got that way. And then you scan down and you look for, like, shoulders. Do they have muscles? Do they have tattoos? Do they have pierced nipples? You make your way down. Is there a six-pack? And then you get to the money spot, and you're like, oh, yeah, it's little, it's big, it's two tablespoons. Is it deep enough to take a furlong? It's whatever it is, but you scope that shit out. You need to know what you're dealing with right away. Then you scan down, you look at the crotchal region some more from the outside perspective, see what you're working with. Is the pants fit? Is the skirt too tight? Is there muffin top? What's up? Is there a fupa? What are you dealing with? And then you make your way down and you get to the shoes and you're like, yes, no, maybe so. Like, maybe you should go barefoot. Maybe you should donate those ugly-ass shoes to a hobo. I don't know. But you got to make a summation upon first glance so you know exactly what you're working with. Yeah. Jeffrey,
tell me what you got.
That you don't get that done right away.
How long does that usually take? Like 2 minutes, 5 minutes,
10 seconds.
That's a lot of work in 10 seconds.
But you could. That's your problem, though. You don't judge people. See, I do. I have no problem. I will judge your ass within 10 seconds, and I will know, would I? Could he or she get it? Or what?
Oh, my gosh. That
you
is
can
their
taxes.
Fucking hilarious.
You need to know.
Yeah, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
Not being said, I will notice if you get a haircut.
Jeffrey, do you do this?
Guilty.
Thank you. Most of the world does it, especially the fun world, and people just don't even realize they're doing it.
Am I the boring world? Yes. You're correct.
I do that. I'm the
okay. You do it too, James?
I do. I'm not like... Okay, I'm sorry.
No,
I don't
want to... Keep it real.
I'm going to sound like an ass because I don't judge a book by its cover, I guess. Like, I try to look for the good in people, too, as opposed to itemizing them just by their looks. Like, so, yeah, I guess I'm boring.
Listen, Jamesy.
I'm all business.
If there's a hot person in front of you, if you don't try to size up the dunk to dunk and the junk to junk.
Well,
you really think about
dunk to dunk. I didn't hear what you said. That kind of cut out.
I said, tell me when there's a hot person in front of you that you don't waste a lot of time checking out the da-dung-da-dung and the junk-junk and figuring out what you're working with. Like, it's subconscious. It just happens.
Okay. I was good. I do find myself glancing at that general region on any man.
Thank you. The
crotchal
region is a necessity.
The crotchal area.
Yeah, that.
The junk-a-junk.
Yeah, it's
but I don't read people. What I'm saying is I can't read people like you do in 10 seconds. Like, I have to actually sit and talk to somebody to to be able to read them. So
yeah, I'm pretty good at it. I'm usually right, unless I'm distracted by what I see in the crotchal region, and then I try and date you. Then I'll bet they're off, and my strategy does not.
This fucking train wreck.
Oh, Katrina, I'm supposed to find out if you want your own private room for Lexington.
Of course.
Because I had you sharing a room with me. But
oh, unless you bring an eye mask and some earplugs and some extra duct tape in case I run out, I don't think that's going to be a good deal for you.
Oh, you gave me an own room. Jeffrey, work on that own room.
Oh, now it's my problem?
You have been your problem. You're the head of travel.
Try and tell me that you're not going to be sharing that room with me looking at people's spandex crotchal region.
I don't know what the fuck it is you're speaking of.
You know when she's like within 100 feet of spandex, all bets are off.
Yeah, I know.
All promises she has made are broken. Everything she's ever said she wouldn't do, she does.
Right.
You see what
I almost voted Democrat the last time. I was so confused.
What the fuck?
I just, this is all my morals.
I love my Power Ranger friends. We almost got her converted.
They brainwashed.
Not another one.
With their Twig Richardy.
We almost got her, people.
With their beautiful,
man.
Flexible ninja ways, they morphed me.
Beautiful, flexible ninja ways. I've never heard it put that way.
But it's understandable, right? You got what I'm saying.
This
beautiful, flexible ninja ways. It does wonders. And that spandex does wonders.
This week's top 10 list needs to be the top 10 things about a Power Ranger.
How about
Katrina
the
love?
Top 10 things to do at Lexicon?
Yeah, it's almost a month and a week away. We need to know the top 10 things to do at Lexington. Lexicon, whatever it's called, Lexington Comic-Con. I don't even know the name of this shit. I'm just going to be there, sign an autograph.
I've been calling it Lexicon.
That's exactly what it is. It's a con and it's in Lexington. You know we're going to meet Justin Baxter finally.
Yeah, it's about time, Justin. I appreciate that picture that you sent me. It was enjoyable and delicious.
Oh, yeah. So you get her around the armed forces or you get her around a spandex.
You get me around a uniform and a manly man and, oh, forget about it.
Forget about it.
Oh, jeez.
What about you, Jeffrey? What kind of man do we get you around and you, like, forget about it?
Joe?
A big buff one that takes commands and lifts luggage.
I said Joe, bitch. I said Joe.
That he takes commands and lifts luggage. Thank you.
Oh, no. That's I would just beautiful. Like to have somebody. Look, y'all judge people by their looks and shit. I judge people by how much money they look like they have.
What about yours?
Well, because I've got this theory now as I've gotten older. Not so much poor people. But people that ain't got no money and that don't like to work, what are they going to bring to my life? What
Nothing.
Are they going to bring to the friendship?
Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. So that, to me, has actually become kind of an important quest. Like, I could really care less if you're hot at this point because, you know, I got in-house dick and shit. So, I mean, it's not really a thing for me.
What about
so the moral of Jeffrey's story is if you have money, you can be friends.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't have to have a lot of money. Like, you just really have to be driven and kind of like...
And able to afford vodka and drive to the store to buy it.
Yeah, like I'm not well, trying to support your fucking habits.
Yeah.
There's no free ride over here, sister. Mama has put blood, sweat, and tears into this bitch, and I'll be damned if I'm giving it away to some fool.
Mm-hmm.
Coco loves George. Hooker.
Coco loves George.
Oh, George.
Does he get a pass?
Oh, yes, he does. Oh, George.
Oh, jeez. Daisy's George. I'm talking about Daisy's cousin, George.
Yes, Daisy's cousin,
George.
Oh, George. Well, he's driven. What do you mean? He has a job and education in the future. He's not like broken.
He's driven, yeah. That's why he likes him, and he's hot. And he's really nice. Like, he's a really nice guy on top of that. Like, cool
and
people.
He speaks of the Espanol, so if he ever needed to role play, you could just call him Sancho.
Yeah.
He speaks Espanol.
Muy bien.
Did y'all ever see that movie with Tori Spelling and
Kristen
Campbell?
No. Keep it rolling.
I don't watch anything with her in it unless it's a reality show. I didn't enjoy her.
Okay, listen.
Nothing where acting's involved.
Listen. She's just a supporting character, but she's like one of the bigger names. Like, nobody knows who the hell Kristen Campbell is. It's Nev Campbell's brother.
Nobody knows who the hell Tori Spelling is, so hurry it on up.
Look at it. It's important. Shut up, bitch.
You know how to deal with this bullshit.
But fuck sake, what the fag got to do to get a word in edgewise on this bitch? I'm saying, damn.
I just told you 10 times. Turn up your hearing aid.
You got 2 fucking former child stars, and it's like competing for the last grain of rice in Somalia. It's just not fucking right.
You didn't know.
Former child stars don't eat.
Okay, go ahead. You got the mic. Go.
For 10 seconds.
I don't even remember now.
Good.
What was it?
I'll bring it back, and I'll say something kind of relevant that people care about. So there's this guy, Mark Lawrence, and he's a comedian, and he's funny, and we've all heard of him, right? Oh, good. My story's already better than Jeopardy. And he was in this movie called Blue Streak, and he was trying to talk to the Espanol when he was at the Mexican border. And he said, yo tengo el gato en mi pantalones.
Translation, he's got a cat in his pants.
Yeah.
Is that
Thank you. Much more interesting than Tori Spelling. That's all she wrote.
Well, actually, it was about the song that I would like George to sing to me.
Oh, go ahead. What is it?
What song is that, you sicko?
Ready?
Oh,
¿cómo te gusta mi pinga? Es muy caliente. ¿Cómo te gusta mi pinga? Es muy plente. It's the same old thing and the same old hole, but when you say it in Espanol, it's just fine. ¿Cómo te gusta mi pinga? Ole.
Yay! Okay, we need some applause. Lindsay, get him some applause. That was actually...
Como me gusta mi pinga.
I gusta your pinga. I sure do.
I gusta your pinga, like, majorly.
So this is what I'm saying. The movie, she's a supporting character. It's called Trick. It was, like, the first gay movie that I ever knew of, and most men that I know that are around my age. That was, like, the first gay movie they ever saw. It was just fantastic. It's funny. It's great, and that was the song that I learned from that. Yeah, it's the only gay song, or the only Spanish song I know.
Me gusta mi pinga.
Oh, that's not true. I do know a little bit of Uno Noche Más. Oh.
Well, Jeffrey, you don't sing often. In fact, I think this is probably the first time I've heard you sing other than my song, and I'm very glad that you decided to, not break the blood vessels in my ears with your...
Well, you know, I feel like
if
you're saying about, like, somebody liking your, I think it's okay if you sing badly. Now, if I could do that in drag every week...
It was hilarious, and I loved it. That was awesome.
Well,
and now
it gave me butterflies. It gave me chills. It made me warm.
Thank you. James, I would like you to auto-tune me, correct me, and drop the pitch down about 5 octaves, and then throw me up. Like, anybody been watching Kathy Griffin's show?
I
haven't seen it lately, but what happened?
Well, it's actually getting a little better because the first couple episodes were horrible, which I've been wanting to talk about. But I didn't realize she actually sings the theme song. But her voice is so, like, auto-tuned and, like, pitch-corrected that you can barely tell that it's her.
Really?
I couldn't figure out. Yeah, I couldn't figure out. Have you seen it, right? You know the song?
Yeah, I have.
In your mind. Well, that's her singing.
Oh, really? Wait,
I didn't catch it.
It's kind of funny. It's like a funny song.
Yeah.
It sounds like
I'll
a Brady Bunch song or something.
I'll say it. I'll say it. Yeah, yeah. It's just crazy. I didn't realize it was her, and she's always lip syncing it. And then it wasn't until like the last episode where I actually like heard her voice in it. And
oh, I found your song.
Como me gusta
mi pena. Oh, I forgot the beginning.
I called my friend the writer.
I called my friend the writer and asked him if he could write a special number.
Here it goes.
Something just for me.
Here it goes. Hit it. Oh, not yet. It's the first. Oh, I can't sing it. Is this it? Is this it, Jeffrey?
Yeah. Drum roll,
please. Go. Oh, I like it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, I forgot words.
Oh, it does sound nice. Tommy Gusta.
I thought what's her name was singing.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
What does Tori spelling have to do with this story? She's not singing it.
In the movie, and there's another song that she sings in it, and it's actually dreadful. If you look up the same movie Trick, Tori Spelling, in her song, oh, God, what the hell is it?
Nobody
she's
cares.
Singing.
That's what I'm saying. See, look, yeah. Did you have to go back to the place where nobody cares?
I love Tori Spelling, and she almost just died. Give the bitch some credit for having a baby, no, getting pregnant 4 weeks out of being a...
Put out a flock, you idiot. What are you doing with your life? You can't afford them. It's not like you have a job.
That bitch moved more than people... I just can't even believe it. Like, she sold her house.
She made a lot of money. She made a lot of money off that book where she was talking about her mom and her dad.
Right. Well, now she's renting a house. It's $15,000 a month. I'm like, yeah, she's bringing in some dough.
She's doing it. Like, they paid her a lot of money. What was it, Lifetime or whatever show she has?
She was on Oxygen. Well, yeah, it was like their number one show.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been in kind of like nobody knows if it's coming back or what the deal is because she almost died. And they've been having problems, of course. And she, like, actually went in the interview.
Maybe
this is what I don't understand.
Maybe she'd have a career if she would sing fun numbers like Como Te Gusta Mi Pinga.
Well, I have to say, though, just watch later on. Watch the part with her in it. Like, you got to give the bitch props
absolutely
for going
not
on there. No.
That's
and it's funny. Like, she's actually funny in the movie. She has a scene where she goes crazy. And it's actually pretty funny. Like, I gave her props.
Because
I could never stand her on 90210. So it wasn't until that movie that I started to become a fan, and then her reality show was just too good.
Wow. Come over.
Well, because I was nosy, and I wanted to know how much money she had left from 90210, which was none.
Well, I can recognize and I can appreciate that. But.
Well, she blamed it on, like, she only got SAG rate or whatever. And it was but she was getting paid, like, $50,000 an episode.
Wow. That's a lot more than SAG wage.
Yeah, like, but that's in the 90s, so I'm like, it was way more then. I'm like, and Heather Locklear was only making, like, $100,000 on Melrose Place, and she was, like, the star. So back then, I'm like, that wasn't that bad, bitch.
She was only making you.
Right.
Jeffrey, she's making almost $500,000 a month. Shut your face.
Okay, I would have just been happy if I can get, like, $50 a day off this radio show, okay? Like, I would be so ecstatic.
Well, maybe if you were a little more fun and you sang Como Te Gusta Mi Pinga, you could get
a ding song.
Right.
I'll tell you what. Let's see if James can find the karaoke version, and we'll auto tune my ass, and I'll do it. I'll record it. I'll even make a little video.
Oh, now we're talking.
can sing back.
But Katrina, here's the thing. I need that midget in the sombrero.
Okay. I know what you're talking about. I'll try and find him. I got to walk up and down the Las Vegas Strip.
Oh, man.
It could be an experience.
Mm-hmm. Not a problem. I will do that for you.
I got some ideas. Karen, you better bring your camera in Lexington because maybe we'll film it there. Can you bring the sombrero guy?
He can fit in my carry-on.
Oh, I got in so much trouble for that because one of my friends, or somebody somewhere along the lines, I'm not actually sure now that we think about it, apparently has a relative that's a little person.
And
because of Midge, I was teaching, you know. Oh, it's Missy. She's saying she got a midget cousin. I never heard about no midget cousin. But she's saying she got one. And she was getting mad because I was teaching the kids to call Little Shan Midge.
Oh, you are so wrong. Oh, man. Oh, man.
She's like, don't tell. They're going to call. I'm like, well, I'm like, look it. Little people is stupid. I'm sorry. You're not a little person. You're a midget. You got little stumpy hands and shit. That you a midget. Why we got to lose all these words? I just don't understand.
Oh, my God. You're so
I'm fine with being called a faggot. I don't mind. I don't. Yeah, I'll be a bundle of sticks all day long. I ain't got shit else to do.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh.
Let the hate mail come in.
Ooh.
Wow.
We're going to get so much, like, slack off of this. Like, it's going to be like that time you hated fat people, Katrina.
Well, hey, as long as TMZ picks it up.
I just hate them sitting next to me sweating their fat juice on me on an airplane, and I think it's rude.
This bitch.
I think it's
What makes it even better is one of her closest friends is an obese man. I'm just saying. I don't know who it is.
Well, just
you're not obese
on an airplane, and we're good.
That is so fucked up.
Or we might not be friends anymore. That's all I'm saying.
He's had to travel, and I'm gonna make sure he sits next to you next time, Katrina.
Fine, but if he's sitting next to me on an airplane, I'm gonna wrap him in swaddling cloth like a big fat baby Jesus, so he doesn't sweat on me. With
don't worry, Katrina. He's out of travel, so you'll be traveling on the wrong day.
Good.
You'll get your flights all fucked up, and then you'll miss the opportunity to want to kill him.
That's good. I'm tired by the time I finally get there. If I get there, I won't even remember. You're right.
You're right.
And I would just like to say, for all future Uncensored Radio outings, I need two seats because it really is a horrible experience.
Thank you for admitting that, and that's why we're friends, because you can admit that shit.
Well, it's true, because it's fucking rude. I'm all cramped in. Like, thank God I was sitting next to Joe, because I just invaded his space. But, like, even he was struggling. Like, there's no room for his legs. You know, like, he's got a big upper body. Like, I mean, it was just a nightmare.
You know what's sad is it's just, like, planes nowadays. They're horrible. Like, I'm short, and it's, like, just uncomfortable for me, and my legs are short. So it's, like, I can't even imagine a grown man, you know, above 6 feet. Like, I don't even understand how they try to squeeze folks in there. They just,
no, it's fucking rude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really is. It's like when we went to go see Wicked, I'm telling you, you girls would have been uncomfortable in those seats, being 5 foot. Like, I mean, it's that. Like, it was just ridiculous. I'm I get, like, in the 70s, people were smaller. Like, I can't remember what the hell we were watching. Oh, we were talking about, what's that bitch's name? Mama Cass, right? Yesterday
Hold
at dinner.
Hold on a second. Hold the phone, pause. I have to warn you guys. I might be going on a date tomorrow, and I might not be able to make the radio show because I might be going to a show, School of Rock. Anyway, carry on. Just have to tell you that.
We're supposed to have 48 hours notice if you're going to be tardy or if you're going to call in sick.
Don't be tardy for the party.
We're going to have to put you on probation.
Listen.
Jamesy, mark this down. She's getting a demerit. I got expensive, fancy tickets.
I'll send her an email.
That's a lot better than saying I got to go to wherever the hell you went, Buffalo, to interview the tampon girl and never show up with an interview. Okay, at least I'm going to show.
Yeah.
I'll report. Thank you.
Katrina just threw you under the bus. What
the
hell happened to that bus on the move?
Yeah, exactly.
What happened? Jeffrey,
the sound's breaking up. I can't hear nobody. So I'll talk to you tomorrow. Great show.
Jamesy, he gets a demerit too. Mark it down, Jamesy. We're gonna start taking notes.
I will draft emails and send them out.
Mhm. And they both get like unsmiley faces today.
Mm-hmm.
They get the rude rough look. Send them that. Although Katrina might like that.
I'm into that.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay,
Jamie.
You can feel free to reward my bad behavior. I am okay with that.
Oh man. What are we going to do, James? There's really no way to punish these two. They like punishment.
That's right.
Actually, James never got me the address for the tampon girl, so I blame him.
Excuse me.
James.
I was never informed that I had to get you the address to the tampon girl.
What do you think? I told you. I said, somebody got to get me her address. Look at Boo. It's your job. I'm just saying.
And James, you're also known as somebody.
Well, James, I wasn't listening.
Write yourself a demerit, James, and send it to yourself with an unsmiley face.
Well, in my defense, I wasn't there for that show, so that's not on me.
Oh. Oh, well, then it was Topher's fault.
So tell Topher.
It's Daisy's fault. Where's Daisy?
That's on Topher.
Daisy's getting a demerit. Where's Daisy? So Daisy or Topher, which one?
I thought he was getting a demerit today on Instagram. Daisy, Toy, and Topher.
Right.
Demerit,
Daisy.
And Karen's getting a demerit.
What?
Karen's getting a demerit. Let's just send them out. Somebody's demerit.
Let's just send them out to everybody to just let people know who the fuck's in charge here.
Apparently nobody. It sounds like lawless bunch of cowboys, if you ask me.
She gets another one. She's challenging authority.
James, somebody just posted on my wall that they've been trying to call in.
I have not seen anybody pop up.
James, are you getting demerits for Skyping and not paying attention to the phone call list?
I have been on the studio page this whole time. Chat is not online.
I have a question. What have you seen me do on the studio page?
Nothing.
Nothing. Just like I didn't see you promote tonight's show on Facebook. I'm just saying.
Oh, really? Because I didn't see you promote it anywhere. I had to go to the Uncensored page to find the link.
I promoted tonight's show, thank you.
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to Jeffrey.
Honey, I don't have to do it those nights because James does it when he's screening. He's the only screener that knows that that's part of his job. See, if you actually came to the fucking meetings, bitch, you would know this crap.
Can't nobody cut time for that.
That's another demand.
You know, you like that song. You know, deflection at its finest.
Yeah, I know. We're talking to the queen of bullshit. We better go get us a shovel.
Oh, do you want me to give him a demerit for that, Katrina?
And I would like to give a shout out to Mama Emmett, who said sit in first class because the seats are bigger. That's right, Mama Emmett. That's right.
You know, that's a good demand.
Except
when the plane goes down, I kind of want that extra few seconds if I'm in the back.
To what? Shart yourself?
Yeah.
Smelling it?
Maybe I can make a phone call. Or get one last look at, you know, Melrose Place or something.
Why would you want to see everybody die on the plane? You just want to go first.
Well, no, because it would be, well, at least then I wouldn't feel so bad. They all fucking died first.
You would lose consciousness before you even got to say anything, for the record.
Mm-hmm. I'd try and have one last conjugal visit.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you me gusta your pizza. Me gusta tu pizza. Me gusta tu pizza. Demand for everybody.